It is certainly good to be with my brothers and sisters once again. And as I always say, I enjoy these times and I think they're very special. And I appreciate the fact that we can do this. And so today I would like to, if you have your Bibles or whatever you look up the scripture on, whatever platform, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read a section of scripture, but we're going to zero in on one particular verse in this section, which begins in verse 12. And of course, what we have here is Paul in this first epistle to the church at Thessalonica. He is closing. And of course, as typical of his epistles and epistles in this time period, they close out with some various exhortations and admonishments to the believers, and we find that here. So beginning in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." This section is typical of some of the other epistles that we find in Paul's style, where he will, on occasion, he will almost with rapid machine gun like fire, he will give all of these commands. And what we have in this passage is very interesting. We have approximately 15 present imperatives. They're either present active or present middle, which are very, very similar. And I want to focus in on three of those today, found in verse 16. And these three commands, I've kind of entitled them, or as I think about them, I entitle them Three Commands for a Peaceful Present and a Bright Future. And who doesn't need that, especially in this day and age in which we live? And I think these things serve as an antidote to maybe to discouragement or despondency and even depression that we find in our society and especially among Christians today. Now, these are not things that are new, and I don't think Paul was necessarily even trying to be revelatory here with these. These are common. But how often do we, if we were honest, do we not incorporate these into our lives? Notice verse 16. Here are the three. Number one, rejoice always. Number two, pray without ceasing. And then the third one is in everything, give thanks. All of those, again, are present imperatives. Now, we need to understand that imperatives in the scripture and in the Greek text are not suggestions. They are not that which Paul is saying, this is what I think you should do, or these are not things that Paul wishes that these Christians would do. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, these are commands that God is giving the believers and in this church through the writing of Paul. And so again, these are not just good, hopeful things that he is desirous of seeing them doing. He's saying these are things that you need to do, or you need to continue doing these things. And so rejoice always. Again, I speak to many Christians who may be to the point where if we are looking around us, we say, well, Pastor Gray, there's not a whole lot in this world at the moment that we can rejoice in. And I would agree, not in the world. And that's not where we find our joy. And unfortunately, I think I see many Christians, or at least I observe them, see, hear, and read things where I think too many believers are putting their hopes and their joys on things or events that are happening in the world. That'll never make us happy. That'll never make us joyful. What are some things that we need to keep in mind to fulfill this command? Well, there's probably many things that we could list, but how about the fact, and let's begin with this, how about the fact that we recall God's love for us on a daily basis? I think one of the greatest passages that should make any one of us rejoice, and especially Christians, as I will say to my church, this is good enough to even make a Baptist shout on occasion, and maybe some of you Presbyterians too. You know what? What does he say at the end of Romans? He says that there is absolutely nothing in this life that we experience that can separate us from the love of God. Now, folks, that's good. And I love Romans 8 because it begins with no condemnation. If we're in Christ, there's nobody or anything that can condemn us at that point. And he ends that chapter with no separation. My folks, that is good. And that's one of the reasons why we can wake up every day despite what is going on in the world around us. And we can rejoice and rejoice always because that truth, these truths are never going to go away. We will always be as far as our judicial position in Christ, we are always going to be in Him. What a wonderful thing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Again, that alone should be enough for us to rejoice always. How about, again, thinking about and recalling God's forgiveness? How often do we go back and remember or recall our salvation experience? Again, as I sometimes word this to our folks, I will say it this way. We should never get over our salvation. We should never get over our salvation. We should go back and remember it often. We should read the gospel accounts of the passion of our Lord and Christ often to remind ourselves of where we were and what our Lord Jesus did for us. It should not be just at Easter or any other time of religious celebration. This should be every day. And the fact that God forgives us of all of our sins and that we as his children, we know the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friends, today, let us remember that that is a relationship verse. That's not a salvation verse. That's a relationship verse. And we have the wonderful privilege of going anytime into the presence of God and saying, Lord, I fell again, Lord. It happened again. And you know what he says to us? That he is going to forgive us every single time. What a wonderful thing to know that the reservoir of God's grace is unmeasurable, and it will never run dry. We will never get to a point where our Lord and our God and our Father will say, well, you know what, child? You've messed up for the 4,353rd time. You're done. That will never happen. We can go to him and he's going to forgive us if we confess our sins. And in addition to that, he says he's not going to remember our sins against us. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. If you go one way in infinity to the east and the other way in the opposite direction to the west, that's infinity. They don't meet. And he has removed them. Our problem is we like to bring them back up and beat ourselves to death spiritually with sins that God has already forgiven. And I think that does a great disservice to ourselves, and it certainly is not something that we should do to our Lord after He has forgiven us. What about God's grace and mercy that we live in every moment of every day? We live in that. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, because of His great love for us, there's the love again, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Well, I need to just mention the other two because I'm running out of time. The second command is pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we are in the actual literal physical act of prayer all the time. Now, that's a dangerous thing to do, especially if you're driving your car. You can pray in your car, by the way, just keep your eyes open. And if you're in a town like we are in Greenville, it's probably a good thing to pray, the way traffic is and so forth. So you need to pray. But the whole idea is this, is that we are in the spirit of prayer constantly. Prayer becomes a lifestyle. It's not something we just do on a call every day at noon. It's not something that we do just at church on certain occasions. We live constantly in the attitude, the heart attitude, and the action of prayer. And what a wonderful thing, again, that we can go into the presence of God at any moment. There's a lot more I'd like to say on that one, but let me go to the last one real quick because, again, we want time to pray today, and I'm running out of time. But the last command, the third one, is very similar to the first one. And he says, give thanks constantly. In everything, give thanks. Now, that's hard to do as life comes at us and events happen to us. And I'm speaking to many on here I know that have experienced tragedies and difficulties and trials and testings and setbacks. But we have to also remember that God is there. He allows certain things that we may not understand this side of eternity. And we will only know it when we get to heaven. But we also have to remember that if God allows things that we don't understand, we know that we have a loving, wonderful God, and He is trying to teach us something. And one day we will know what those things are, what those things were meant to teach us, what those things were meant to reveal to us. And we have to trust Him. He's a good, loving God. He's the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And so He knows what's good for us. So we are to give thanks constantly in spite of circumstances, in spite of disappointments, and in spite of trials. And I would urge you to maybe go back and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and then chapter 12, because Paul is one who never tells people to do something that he hasn't experienced or has had happened himself. He talks about all the things that he went through. And then in chapter 12, he talks about that thorn in the flesh, and we don't know exactly what that was, but whatever he was experiencing, his attitude there is one of giving thanks constantly. And he came to a point of spiritual, and his spiritual maturity is very much revealed there, where he says, okay, Lord, you've decided not to perhaps heal this. And so, Lord, if my infirmity means that you get more glory, so be it. That's amazing. And so he, in that sense, he is giving thanks constantly. It is equated, I believe, with what he says elsewhere. He says that whatever state I have found myself in, I have learned to be content. Contentment and joy and thanksgiving, they all go together. And so I hope that we will do that today, that we will follow these, not suggestions, but that we will follow these commands to rejoice always, to pray unceasingly. What a privilege that is. And to always give thanks. Because let's admit it today, folks, you and I, as God's children, we have a lot to be thankful for. And so I hope that we'll remember to keep these commands and practice them, because it certainly will give us a more peaceful present. And as the days go on, it provides us a bright future as well. May God bless.